Good morning. Well, one person's awakened with me this morning. Anyway, that's good. Now, I brought gifts for children sitting in the front row. And I'm very pleased that I'll be able to give my gifts to at least three people. And I'm wondering if there's anybody else that's a child that would like to come up and be eligible for a gift at the end. Because I'm only going to give it to people who are in the front row. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, ladies. Okay, who has a song that they'd like to start with? It can be somebody in the front row or it can be somebody further back. Number 11. Thank you. Somebody could start number 11, please.
Will your anchor hold in the storms of
has another song. Okay, what would you like to sing? 34. Number 34. Thank you. Precious, precious blood of Jesus.
Precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary. Shed for ever, shed for sinners.
I saw somebody else wanted to give one out. What would you like? Number four? Okay. Christ is the Savior of sinners.
Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me.
Gifts for people in the front row this morning, and if there's any children that would like to come up and sit in the front row, now would be a good time to do it. Now, do any of the girls up here have a song you'd like to sing? Number five, Oh Happy Day That Fixed My Choice. That's a great song. Thank you.
Oh happy day that fixed my choice, I'll be my Savior.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for your songs. I noticed you like to sing gospel songs, and that's very nice. And this is really what this morning is. It's a gospel for children. The gospel is good news. Now, I'd like to pray and ask the Lord for His help before we go any farther. Our gracious God and our loving Father, I come to Thee this morning and ask for Thy help. I have the most wonderful subject. It's a subject that's very close to Thy heart, Thy Son, the Lord Jesus. And we just ask that every child in the room might understand clearly what Thy heart is for them. And I ask that if there's a teenager or an adult that doesn't trust the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior yet, that they might do so this morning. We thank Thee that the door is still open, and we ask for Thy blessing this morning in the precious name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay. I'd like somebody in the front row to read a verse for me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So do I have a volunteer? I know one of you has volunteered for me before. Anybody like to read this verse? Two verses, actually. 1 Corinthians 15, partway through verse 3 and the rest of verse 4. You want to do it for me? Please. Okay. So start right here with that name.
Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
Thank you very much. Good job. Not only do I have gifts, I have a little reward for people who help me out. Would you like to pick one of those? Thank you. Okay. This verse is really the gospel. Think about it. Christ. And that's where I really want to start today. I want to start 1,981 years ago on a hill outside the city of Jerusalem. And on that hill is a cross. And right now, it's a Tuesday morning. And you can go and you can look at that cross. And there's a cross in the middle and a cross on either side on top of that hill. What will you see on the cross? What will you see on the cross?
Amen.
On Tuesday, you won't see a man. The Lord Jesus was crucified on Friday. So what will you see on the cross on Tuesday? It's the Tuesday after He was crucified. Thank you. There's nothing on that cross, and that's what that verse is telling us, isn't it? Christ rose again the third day. They took Him down, and He was buried. But that cross is central to a lot of things. You go back 1,981 years. There's about 4,000 years before that, from the time of Adam. But think about it. Everything, from God's point of view, looked forward to that cross, and now it all looks back to that cross. And you know, that cross is pretty much in the center of the world when God thinks about things, because God's favorite city on earth is Jerusalem. And that cross is just outside that city. And what I want to do is have you there this morning, looking at that empty cross. And we're going to think about the man that was on that cross 3 days before, 4 days before. You know where he came from, don't you? Who can tell me where the man that was on that cross came from? Okay, where did he come from?
Heaven.
He came from heaven. We were talking yesterday in the gospel meeting about some of the houses the Lord Jesus had been in. But the one that he left is his Father's house. And it was a beautiful place. It is a beautiful place. He came down to this world. He was born a little baby. There's little babies in this room. It's just like that. And he grew up to be the same age as you children. And then he became a young adult, like some of the teenagers. And then a young man. But he never got to be as old as I am. Because of that cross on the hill. And now, I want to tell you a little story. In June, I was in the city of Shanghai in China. And in Shanghai, they have a very nice subway system. Okay? And I was on the subway standing up because they're usually fairly full, even at nighttime. And there was a boy came on, and his mother had him by the shoulders, and she was guiding him. And I saw them get on the subway car, and they were walking along, and then I realized the boy had his hat out like this. And they were walking along, and when I got closer, I realized they were looking for money. And everybody's looking for money when they don't have a job. And in China, it's fairly common to see little children with a hat or a bowl looking for money. And this boy came through the subway car and I was standing there. I had a little bit of money and his mother had her hands on his shoulders. And I wondered why a mother and her little boy would be coming through looking for money. And that little boy came closer. He was a cute looking little boy. I could see him about that far away. And very good and obedient, and wherever his mother directed him, he went. And when he got closer to me, when it was my turn to ignore him and not give them any money, I could see his eyes, and his eyes were all covered with some growth. He couldn't see anything. He was completely blind. And his mother pointed him directly to me, and I couldn't give him nothing. So I reached into my pocket and I took a little bit of change I had and I put it in his hat, which is okay. But what really touched my heart was the look his mother gave me. When she looked up at me, there was such appreciation in her eyes and such thankfulness that I wished I'd given 100 times more than I had. But she'd already moved on down. And this morning, you know, he was such a nice looking little boy, but there was a problem. His eyes, he couldn't see. He needed a doctor. He needed medication. He needed somebody, and maybe it wouldn't even be possible to fix his eyes, naturally speaking. Maybe he needed, like the blind man in John 9, to meet the Lord Jesus, to have his eyes healed. But what really touched me was the mother's look, her appreciation. And what I want to say, all you children look very nice in this room today. You teenagers, you look fine. All the adults were dressed well, looking fine. Maybe not looking as fine as when we were 18. But each of us has a mother. And you know, there can be a problem with us that you can't see on the outside. When that boy got close to me, I could see there was a problem with his eyes. He couldn't see. And the same thing can be true of us spiritually, that our eyes are blind and we can't see. We can't see the beauty of that man that was hanging on that cross in the middle on the hill. And we can't see the beauty of the house that he left, his father's house. And we can't see the awfulness of the hell that made him want to come down out of love for me and you to die on that cross to save us. And so I hope that the Spirit of God this morning will open up the eyes of your mind, that you'll see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ the danger of hell and the hope we have of being forever with the Lord, and that your mother and your father and God the Father in heaven will have that same look of appreciation, thankfulness, and joy because your eyes have been opened. So go back to that hill and see that empty cross, okay? Why did the Lord Jesus leave his home up in heaven? To save sinners. Now let's turn to Revelation, the end of the 20th chapter. And as you stand looking at that hill with the empty cross, this morning there are two roads you can take. And in the 20th chapter and in the 21st and 22nd chapter of Revelation, I'm going to show you where those two roads go. Okay? Now, the one road goes to what we have in chapter 20. I saw a great white throne, verse 11, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I think you answered a question for me, and I forgot to give you a little reward. Would you like to pick one? Thank you. What do you do with a pencil or a pen?
You write with it.
That's right. So maybe you'd like to pick one of these. And you can write with that once it gets sharpened. That road is the road that says, I don't want the Lord Jesus in my life. I want to look after my own life. I want to have fun myself. I want to be disobedient to my parents. I want to be selfish. And maybe who knows what else. And that road leads to this great white throne. And the judge sitting on that throne is none other than the Lord Jesus himself. And he's going to look in all the books, all the things you ever did. And then he's going to look in the book of life. And will he find your name written in the book of life? Now, I don't know your names, but the Lord Jesus knows every one of your names. Will your name be written in the book of life? Because if it's not, the place you go to is the place that God, the Lord Jesus, tells us about. And you know what? It's that place that scared me into trusting the Lord Jesus. Because it is very, very clear to me. Blackness, the lake of fire, and I see all that blackness and those flames. And 2 weeks ago, I had an experience with flames. And if you look closely at my arm, there's very little hair on one arm because the flames came shooting out of a barbecue about 6 feet, and I felt instantly the heat. And it wasn't pleasant. The lid closed fast. I didn't want any more of those flames. Nothing more to do. I didn't want those flames. If I'd let those flames keep going, I would have been cooked, just like the pig that was in the barbecue. But the awful thing about hell is it never stops. You know, after 6 hours, that pig was done. But in hell, after 6 hours, it's still going on. Those flames are still there. And the worm that the Lord Jesus talked about was still eating away, eating away, eating away. No friends, all blackness, darkness, horror. And that's why the Lord Jesus came down to save sinners. Because it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And the Lord Jesus knew he'd created hell for the devil and his angels. and He didn't want me or you or any other person going there. And He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now on the other side of that cross, there's another path we can take, and that's the path where you let the Lord Jesus be your Savior and the Lord of your life, the one who gives you the directions, the one to whom you can be obedient. And the result of that path is you go to the right hand of God where there's pleasures forevermore. Now, is there anybody in this front row that doesn't enjoy something pleasant, pleasurable, that doesn't like having fun? No? Is there any of you that likes pain? Likes having a really bad sunburn? That likes pain? And really enjoys it? Especially if there's no end? No. I don't think so. So, the Lord Jesus knew what His Father's house was like and how beautiful it is. And let's turn to the 22nd chapter of Revelation. If your Bibles are still open. Actually, I want to read the 21st chapter, just a few verses there first. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And then to the 22nd chapter. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. You know, what a wonderful thing this place is. What a wonderful place. And the most important thing about this place for me is that that man who was on the middle cross, who wasn't there on Tuesday morning because he'd come down, they'd taken him down, they'd buried him, and God had raised him from the dead, he's going to be there. And for me, to think that somebody loved me so much that he'd take my place on Calvary, I was thinking about it this morning, talking with Mr. Tanzitz, and I decided that if I was the Lord Jesus in Gethsemane, that I wouldn't have made it past when Judas showed up with his crowd, because those 12 legions of angels would have come down and they would have been all gone. But the Lord Jesus, He took that, those hours in the house we had last night, the high priest's house, and then in Pilate's mansion, and then going out to that cross and hanging there. Can you imagine what the angels were thinking as they watched the Creator of the universe with all that power, all that majesty, all that glory hanging there, and Him not calling for help? Can you imagine what God's heart was as He took all my sins and put them on the Lord Jesus and punished the Lord Jesus for my sins and for yours? I want to see that man. I want to see him face to face and see the holes in his hands, the holes in his side and his feet, and know that he died for me. So who's on the cross on the Tuesday morning after the resurrection?
Nobody.
Nobody's on the cross. Where is the Lord Jesus now? Where is He now? He's in heaven in His Father's home. And you have at the cross a choice of two things. You can go to hell and the lake of fire, or you can go to heaven. And what was the difference between which place you go to? In Revelation chapter 20, they checked the book. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The end of chapter 21, verse 27. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. They that are written in the Lamb's book of life. So the verse we started with was in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that's the gospel. That's the good news that I have. The Lord Jesus saw what my need was and your need, and He didn't want me to go to hell, and He didn't want you to go to hell, because He loved us so much. And He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And He went to the cross of Calvary and gave His life for me and for you. And now the question that I have, how do you get your name written in the Lamb's book of life? How? How do you get your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Now some of you have received pencils this morning. How would you write your name in your Bible? You've answered lots of questions for me. Thank you. Let's try somebody else. How would you get your name written in your Bible? You would write it. So it's pretty easy. We understand that part. Now, how do you get your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Would you like a pencil? How do you get your names written in the Lamb's book of life? How?
By becoming a Christian.
By becoming a Christian. How do you become a Christian?
By admitting your sins to God.
By admitting your sins to God. Is that enough to just admit them? We need to do more than just admitting. Admitting is a very good first step. What do we have to do more than just admit that we're a sinner and that we've sinned? We have to believe what? That Jesus died for us, right? 1 Corinthians 3, Christ died. Christ died. He died for us. What else do we have to believe? We have to believe in God. We have to believe that the Lord Jesus is where? He's in heaven. Would you like a pencil? Thank you. And you can have another one. One's enough? Okay. That's it. You need to confess that you're a sinner and ask the Lord Jesus to wash your sins away and believe that He died on Calvary to take your place. He died on that cross to take your place and have your sins washed away in His precious blood. Because if you look at that cross, you see there's nobody on it, right? But if you look at the ground, what would you see? You'd see His blood. Would you like a pencil? You'd see the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. You believe that the Lord Jesus' blood can wash your sins away? That He took your place on Calvary? And so I hope that you'll open your eyes and realize that the reason we're talking to you this morning is because if you don't open your eyes, you're going to go to the place called the lake of fire, hell. And it is so awful that the Lord Jesus came down. He left His wonderful home. He came down to take your punishment on Calvary. You ever had your brother take your punishment for you? Brothers usually don't volunteer to take your punishment. But the Lord Jesus loved us so much that He came down and took my punishment for me and yours for you if you believe in Him. And God raised Him from the dead. The Father looked at His Son and what He'd done. And He's given the Lord Jesus a name that's higher than any other name. It's the most important, most wonderful, most glorious name. And the Lord Jesus has created that place in heaven where there's fullness of joy, perfect love, happiness instead for us, for people that He loves. Now the question that I have for you is, which are you going to do? Are you going to ask the Lord Jesus to wash your sins away and have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life or not? I have one more story for you. I was 7 when I was saved. Somebody told me the story of a boy who was still in a car seat. He was driving with his mom, and he asked questions about heaven. And he wanted to know if his mom and his dad were going to heaven, and his big brother, and other members of his family, were they going to heaven? And they were. His dad was saved, his mom was saved, the other children in the family were saved. But he was only a little boy, still in his car seat in the car, and he knew that he wasn't safe. And his mom came home, drove up the driveway, and the little boy didn't want to get out of the car. You know why he didn't want to get out of the car? Because that little boy was very serious about going to heaven, to that wonderful home where there's love and joy and peace and happiness all the time. He was very serious about not going to hell. And he wanted, before he got out of the car seat, to get saved. He wanted to pray right there, as a very young boy, to ask the Lord to wash his sins away and to take him to heaven. And you know, I hope that if any of you in this room is not saved, that you'll get as serious as that young child, that you'll deal with the question right now about whether your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life or not. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you know, I'm going to go up and down the front row to all the children, because not all of you got a chance to answer a question, and I might have forgotten to give you a little reward if you did answer a question. And I'm going to offer you again a gift. You can accept it, or you can turn it down. Somebody accepted it. Many people are accepting. It seems to me people like gifts. Oh, you don't want a second gift? You know, is it all right if I use you for an object lesson? She doesn't want another pencil, and I don't blame her. She probably has enough already. But God is offering to you today salvation, His gift. Are you going to accept His gift? It's as easy as these children who are taking it. Would you like another one? Would you like one? May I use you for an object lesson?
Yes.
I appreciate very much that you said thank you. How many of us in this room have thanked the Lord Jesus for washing our sins away? I think it's the least we can do, to say thank you to the Lord Jesus and to God our Father for His most wonderful gift, the Lord Jesus. And so while I pray, if you're not saved, please you talk to the Lord Jesus yourself. He can see in your heart. He knows your thoughts. Ask Him to wash your sins away to make you ready for heaven. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior and enter into a new path, a path of joy and happiness and pleasure and service. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I come to Thee now, and I know that every Christian in the room would join with me in asking that those who are our neighbors in our seats, if anyone, a child, 3, 4, 7, 10, maybe a teenager or an adult, that for the first time has looked at hell and seen the horror of those flames, and maybe for the first time has seen and looked at Thy home, that beautiful place of love and joy, happiness, pleasure forevermore, and has looked for the first time and seen that empty cross and the Lord Jesus Christ back at Thy right hand, Father, we just ask this morning that they might yield their heart, soul, their life, that they might accept Jesus, they might confess that they're a sinner, and that Jesus is the only Savior, that they might ask to have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that they might join us, those of us who are saved, on the path to heaven. We ask for Thy blessing in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank Thee for Thy help. Amen.